dangerous thing to preach that you can be saved after the second coming, which is the most preferred view by most. But I just don't think it's true. I showed you the evidence for it, as I've already said in the past. Let's turn to the book of Luke chapter 21 now. We're still looking at the time of the witnesses. The time of the witnesses is represented by the 1260 days. That's the time frame in which we witness. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. This is a prophetic text along with Matthew 24 and the book of Mark chapter 13. Luke chapter 21. And let's notice verse 20. Jesus says in verse 20, he's preaching to his disciples, if I remember right, in the text. It says, "And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation draws nigh." There was a prophecy of the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet. Now, that was fulfilled in 70 A.D. What happened is the Roman general Titus marched on Jerusalem, and what he did is he encircled the city. It's Prince Titus, he encircled the city, and he brought in the Romans, and they destroyed Jerusalem. What else did they destroy? They destroyed the temple, and they completely destroyed the temple. Josephus records, I think, that they killed a million Jews. So that's what you see here in the book of Luke chapter 21, verse 20. Let's keep looking now. It says, "When you shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation draws nigh. Let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains." Now, people that heard Jesus say that, when the armies first gathered there, Rick, you know what they did? They fled to the mountains. Now, the reason why I'm pointing that out is because if you're behind a wall, what do you want to do? Stay behind the wall of protection. But what he told them, when this thing first happened, flee to the mountains, get out. Because what they did, they destroyed everybody in there. So they had an opportunity. Those that knew Jesus' word here, guess what they did? When they first started to gather, they fled out. Verse 22, "These be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and the wrath upon the people." Verse 24, notice how they'll die. "They shall fall by the edge of the" what? We don't use swords in battle anymore, do we? I guess maybe somewhere someone does, but we use guns and bombs and everything else. So this is talking about back when? Back then. "They shall fall by the edge of the sword." This is destruction of Jerusalem by who? By Romans. Prince Titus is the one that led the destruction. "And then they'll be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be" what? Now, is that still true all the way down to the day? Still, it is. All the way down to the day, this whole time frame is the times of the Gentiles. What's the next big agenda? What's the next big thing to happen? Jerusalem's already been destroyed, and they were led away captive into all nations, just like the text said. But there's part of this that hadn't happened yet. Do you know which part? Waiting on the Lord to come. Look at verse 25. It picks up with that in Luke chapter 21. "They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Once the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, here's what will happen in verse 25. "There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth the distress of the nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves shall be roaring." What else is going to happen? Men's hearts failing them for... It's going to be a frightening time. What are we talking about right here, right now? We're talking about the second coming here. We're talking about Jesus getting ready to take His people out. and mentions the distress of the nations. It'll be a frightening time. The day that Jesus comes for a lot of people is going to be a frightening time. That's why it says the distress of the nations. Seeing the waves roaring, men's heart filling them for fear. For looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Verse 27. They shall... What's it say? It says they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. They shall what again? It's not a secret rapture, is it? Not a secret rapture. There used to be a movie out where it showed Jesus coming and nobody knew where... Everybody ended up going and nobody knew what was going on. That's not biblical whatsoever. That made for a good movie, I guess. But it's not true. It says they shall see the Son of Man coming. It's going to be visible when Jesus comes. Something will be something people see. But think how bad it would be to see Jesus coming and then going back and what? You still being here. That would be a frightening thing. Would y'all not agree? You'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, what's it tell you to do? Look up. You know what it tells you to look up? You'll get to see an awful pretty sight on that day. It says, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. It's called the day of redemption in the book of... It says, the Bible says in Ephesians 4 that we're sealed until the day of redemption. Another name for the day of Jesus' coming is it's also called the day of redemption. Do you know why that is? You say, well, Jeff, I'm already redeemed. You're redeemed from your sin. But on that day, you get the full benefit of your redemption, something you don't have yet. And when Jesus comes, I'm getting excited. When Jesus comes, get what you're going to get. You'll get a new body. You ain't got that yet. My body's starting to hurt and stuff now. I don't know why that is. We're aging. One of these days, we're going to get a new what again? We're going to get a new body. And that's also called the day of redemption. Dead in Christ rise first. There'll be a generation of people that will never die. There'll be a generation of saints that never die. After the resurrection of the just, then He'll send forth His angels and they'll gather together His elect from the four winds of the earth, from the four corners of the earth. And we'll be all together, where at? In the clouds. Oh, God's people said. Well, this 1260 days represents the time of witnessing. And we're looking forward to Jesus coming. Right now, what time are we in? We're in the times of the Gentiles right now. And what were we waiting on? We're waiting on Jesus to come. We're still in the times of the Gentiles. Still in the times of the Gentiles until Jesus comes. Okay? Let's go ahead and turn to the second one. Let's go ahead in Revelation chapter 11. Let's go back there. So the 1260 days represents the time of witnessing according to Revelation 11 and verse 3. Now let's go back to Revelation 11. Secondly, we're looking at the truth of the time frames. Notice Revelation chapter 11 and notice verse 7. We'll get us another time frame here. Revelation chapter 11 and the verse 7. And when they shall finish their testimony, the beast that shall ascend out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. So here you have a picture of people that have been witnessing. And what's happening is there's a war against them. And what happens to them? He kills them. Verse 8, it says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, which are where our Lord was crucified. Verse 9, and the people and the kindreds and the tongues and the nations shall see their dead bodies. How many days? 3 days and a half. 3 days and a half. That's the same time frame as the other one. All of these mention different numbers, but they all represent the same time frame, which is the time of the Gentiles. Let's read on. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another. Wouldn't it be awful? Send gifts one to another because the two prophets that tormented them that dwell on the earth. You know, God's people has always been hated. When you witness for the cause of Christ, lost people most of the time consider that torment. You ever had anybody get mad at you because you was witnessing to them? You ever had that happen before? I mean, they just get offended. They don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. And there's a lot of people that way, and they consider witnessing to them. These witnesses tormented them. If you're here tonight and lost, we ain't trying to torment you. We're trying to save you from hell. You do it because you care for folk. Well, now notice these men are tormented. They're killed. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of the Lord from God entered into them. And notice what it says in verse 11. And they stand upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Now notice what it says in verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither. What's that a picture of? It's a picture of the rapture. It's a picture of the rapture. So remember, this happened after 3.5 days. 3.5 day time period is this same time period. At the end of it, 3.5 days, that's the picture of the resurrection and the rapture that you see in this text. Different numbers, same time frame. Why do they use four different numbers? Well, ask the Lord when we get there. But He chose to do it that way, and that's the way He's done it then. If that's the way He wanted it done, that's the best way. Maybe to draw attention to the different things that happen during this times of the Gentiles. So, 1260 days is a time of witnessing. And then the second thing we notice, the persecution of the witnesses. How long did that last? Until 3.5 days, and that's going to end with the second coming. And that's what's pictured here in the text. Very hard not to see that. It says they ascended up to heaven in a cloud and their enemies beheld them. It's a picture of the rapture. What happened to them? They were killed. And then at the end of the days, what's the Lord going to do? He's going to resurrect them. So that's the persecution of the witnesses and the raising them up. Now let's go to Revelation 12. Now we'll get heavy on Revelation. When we start next week, if the Lord lets us live, we're going to start right with Revelation 12 and then we can move through it. I'm just explaining the time frames to you because it causes so much confusion, not just with us, but everybody. People get so confused by that thing. Understand what I'm saying. Each one of these days and time frames that's mentioned, 1260, 3.5 days, 42 months, times and a half a time, represents the times of the Gentiles. And we've been in that really all the way back to Babylon, if you want to take it that far. That time frame will end with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, Revelation chapter 12, we'll listen for it, watch for the time frame. And I'm showing you the different events that's been associated with the different time frames to show you that it's the same time frame. Isn't that confusing? Revelation chapter 12. Now there appears a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. How many tribes of Israel was he? 12. And what does she have on? She has a crown. She's clothed with the sun and the moon, and she has a crown of 12 stars. Now notice what this woman does. And she was with. Remember what kind of language we use in Revelations? It's figurative. Using figurative language. So you have this woman. See how she's clothed? And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And there was another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. What's a red dragon a picture of? It's a picture of the devil, really. And the 7 heads and 10 horns, we'll see that in Revelation 13. And we'll use Daniel to interpret that, but not tonight. I've got to stay the task tonight. 7 heads and 10 horns. Those are 7 nations. And those 10 horns are the 10 dramatic tribes. I'm just going to give you that much. Each head represents a nation. And then the 10 Germanic tribes is really represents the 10 Germanic tribes is who conquered Rome. So we'll explain all that when we get there. Now watch this now. His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. What's that a picture of? The great red dragon, and he drew a third part of the stars of heaven. That's a description of the fall of who? Fall of the devil. He was an angel. He was an angel, wasn't he? What happened to him? He fell. When he fell, what did he bring with him? He drew a third part of the stars of heaven. That's the fallen angels. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. What kind of language are we using again? So here you have a woman, and she's represented as being pregnant. And the dragon, which represents Satan, wants to devour this child as soon as he is what? As soon as he's born. Does that remind you of something? Reminds you of Jesus, doesn't it? You see, the woman that is pictured here, who did Jesus come? What nation did Jesus come through? He came through Israel. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Did the devil want Jesus to be born? No. Notice it says, which was the dragon was ready to be delivered, when she was ready to be delivered, and he wanted to devour her child as soon as it was what? Did the devil attempt to kill Jesus whenever he was born? He sure did, didn't he? Remember Herod, what was it, 2 years old and under, killed all the little babies in Bethlehem trying to get who? That's what you see right here. It's historic. Okay? What happened? Well, he never got that. The Lord seen to it that he was born, or we couldn't have been saved, could we? And she brought forth a man child. Y'all know who that man child is? Somebody tell me. That's Jesus. She brought forth a man child. Now, if you doubt that this is Jesus, it says, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who's that? Jesus. And her child was caught up unto God to his throne. When did that happen? That happened in the book of Acts. You see, once he finished his work here, what did Jesus do? He ascended back to heaven. Everybody see that right here? This is all historic. He's showing you what happened. Went on. It's easy to see there, isn't it? It's really not confusing at all if you just follow it. So she brought forth the man-child who was to rule all nations. Who is that man-child that was born that would rule all nations? Somebody tell me. Jesus! That's who it's talking about. And then once Jesus had finished his work, he was caught up to God, to his throne. Now the woman, which represents Israel, says she's fled into the what? She fled into the wilderness. And of course, what time frame is that? That's this time frame right here. That's this time for the times of the Gentiles, also called the last times. That's the time frame that we're talking about. The woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God, and they should feed her 1,260 days. That's another 1,260 days. What time frame is that? That's this latter time frame, which represents the times of the Gentiles. All four numbers represents the same time frame, which is the times of the Gentiles. You say, Pastor, that's confusing. It's confusing for everybody. But that's just what the text teaches. You just got to work the text and show what it represents. All God's people see it. So that's what you see here in the text. So far, what we saw, the time of the witnesses was 1,260 days. That's the time frame that it gave. The persecution of the woman was 3.5 days. It was the persecution of the woman. And then she fled into the wilderness. And then it mentions another time frame, which was 1,260 days in verse 6. So think about these numbers. And if you just think about and keep them all together and realize that they represent this one time frame, it saves from a whole lot of confusion. Okay, Revelation chapter 12, we've seen a woman fled into the wilderness in verses 1 through 6, and that was also given 1,260 days. So just represents the time of the Gentiles. Let's turn to Revelation 13. Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. We want to look a little bit at 1 through 5. Now here's the prophecy of the beast. In Revelation 13 it mentions, I'm not going to mention all the beasts, but I'm going to mention three of them. And the beast that's mentioned here in Revelation 13 is also mentioned in the book of Daniel. Same beast, just in a different order. Same beast, just in a different order. Notice what it says in Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now notice how many heads, 7 heads and 10 horns. When am I going to explain that when we get to Revelation 13? What book are we going to use? We'll use Daniel. It represents different nations. Now notice verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a what? Like a leopard. And its feet was the feet of a bear. And its mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his authority and seat. Or the idea of the word seat to give him his throne. And I saw one of his heads that was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. I got to let that lay. I can't go off on that, but we will get to it. I'm just covering the time frames tonight, then I'm going to stop. And they that worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who shall make war with him? Now, what I want you to note is it mentions a leopard, a bear, and what else? And a lion. Mentions three beasts in this particular text. Mentions three of them. Now, let's go ahead and go to the book of Daniel now. This will be the last thing we do. Tried my best to make this short as I could. Because I want to get on with the book of Revelations. And we bogged down in here bad, but we needed to because it's just a tough text. Back to the book of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Now, notice Daniel has a similar vision to what John had. And when we looked at John's day, he described a leopard, a bear, and a lamb. Everybody remember that? That's what John described that he saw, these beasts. Now back in Daniel, Daniel sees a similar thing. I'm just going to deal with the three beasts. There's four mentioned there. There's four mentioned in Revelation, but I just want to deal with these right here. Now watch this. And four great beasts came up out of the sea. Same thing as you've seen back in Revelations. Notice what they're like. The first was like a what? A lion. And it had eagle's wings. And behold, the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up off the earth and made a stand upon their feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So he sees a lion. Number two, another beast. A second, like a what? Like a bear. You see, and he was raised up on one side. He had three ribs in his mouth and between his teeth of it, and they said, arise and devour much flesh. Look at verse 6. And this I beheld, and lo, another like unto a what? Like it to a leopard. So there you see three beasts. But did you notice something different? Back in the book of Revelations, it used the leopard was first, the bear, and then the lion. And then when you look in Daniel's day, it uses a complete reverse order. Did y'all notice it? And it, lion, a bear, and then a leopard. You know why that is? When Daniel was given this prophecy, Daniel was looking forward. And each one of these wild animals pictures a nation. We'll do that when we get on over. And the nation of the lion represented Babylon. It represented Babylon. Y'all remember Babylon? What they did? Under Nebuchadnezzar, they came down and they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed Jerusalem. After Babylon was what? The nation of the bear. That was Persia. Medes and Persian Empire. That's why it says the bear was humped on one side. Did y'all notice that? It was humped on one side. You know why it was? It was the Medes and Persians. The Persians was the more dominant one. That's why it showed that way. Then after the bear was the kingdom of the leopard. And that was Greece. It reads just like a history book. That was the dominant nations here on earth. And of course, after the kingdom of the leopard was the kingdom of iron, which is the Romans. He's reading it just like a history book would read, except Daniel is seeing it before it ever happened. Think about it. Of course, Daniel was in the days of Babylon or in the days of Persia. But this is what it all represents in this text. The lion represented Babylon, the bear represented Persia, and the leopard represented Greece. And after Greece was what nation? Rome. So those were the three animals. Now, let's go back to Revelation 13. So the difference in the order is because Daniel was looking how? Forward to it. Hadn't happened yet. He was looking forward to it. And then in John's day, they were looking back. That's why he uses the reverse order. Let's look at that again. The beast I saw was like a leopard. And his feet was like a bear. And his mouth was like a lion. See, it's completely the reverse order. Daniel looked down to it. John is looking back. And these beasts represented what? They represented nations. And it says in verse 5, there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given to him to continue how many months? 42 months. In the book of Daniel chapter 7, it uses another terminology with regard to Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. It uses the term times and a half a time, which is also used in the book of Revelations. So that's what these time frames represent. Just to be real easy with it, every bit of these time frames represents the times of the Gentiles. Different numbers, all representing the same time frame. Are we in the last days now? Yeah, we sure are. And what's holding this thing up, you think? He's still saving His people. He's still saving His people. And there'll come a day when the Lord will step out and He'll look at His darling son and He'll say, go get your people out of here. So, times and a half a time, all these represents the time of the Gentiles. All God's people said. And that's all sin. Thank you. Now next week we'll be able to get back